So as we turn to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to be beginning with verse 18. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul has been discussing spiritual warfare. He said a lot about it. And after all of the armor that we've gone through, each piece of the armor, he discusses prayer. Would you stand with me in honor of reading God's word? And we are going to read Ephesians chapter 6, beginning with verse 18, the closeout of the spiritual armor. Verse 18, after it has gone through each piece of the armor, it says there, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. A lot of different words there for prayer. We're going to be talking about that the next time I am with you. It says in verse 19, and it says praying and in supplication for all the saints. In other words, praying for the needs of the saints. And then he says in verse 19, in other words, and for me. What's he saying? He's saying, and pray for me. He said, pray for all the saints, but also pray for me. Now, what does he ask for here? Look at the word. What is he asking them to pray for him? That utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He doesn't ask for release from prison. He doesn't ask for release from his chains. He doesn't ask for release from his problems. He says, let me be bold with the word of God. Folks, we have an example in the word of God that our joy and our fulfillment doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from the Spirit of God. And it comes from the joy of being obedient to God. Would you pray with me as we ask the Spirit to give us direction from His Word? Father, thank you so much for your Word. It's an encouragement. Lord, sometimes it's an indictment. But would you strengthen us, Lord, to turn those times when we're not obedient? Lord, may it excite our hearts to want to be. And would you strengthen us to walk in your word in obedience, that we might find the joy and a strength to be able to say that even in my difficulty, Lord Jesus, let me be bold with the word that comes from you. Father, we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 18 begins, praying always. Two little words. Praying always. And the theme of the closing out of the armor of God is prayer. Here at the close of Ephesians, Paul is telling us that our victory over Satan, over Satan's hosts, involves a commitment to prayer. He said, put on each piece of the armor. We've gone through that. We've gone through that very carefully. But I want you to notice now that he says that prayer is not mentioned as a piece of the armor. It's not a piece of the armor because it's more than that. Prayer is more than a piece of armor. Prayer works in concert with the armor and with each piece of armor. Paul is not saying that we use prayer in addition to the armor. What Paul's saying is prayer is to be woven into and over and around everything, including the armor. He says praying always. So as we put on each piece of armor, we're to be involved in prayer. Does that make sense? Be involved in prayer. We prayerfully put on each piece of armor before we pray. As we put on the armor, before we pray, before we put on the armor, we pray. As you're putting on the armor, we pray. After we put on the armor, we pray. As we walk each day, we pray. We're to be involved in prayer as we engage in battle. We're to be engaged in prayer. As we live through our day, we're to be living in prayer. Now, I know some of you are very familiar with biology, but there is a group of mammals called cetaceans. Anybody familiar with what a cetacean is? That would be like a whale and a dolphin or a porpoise. But they're a very special breed and type of mammal because they don't live on land. Where do they live? In the water. Cetaceans are air-breathing mammals. Listen to me. Air-breathing mammals, but they are completely adapted for living in the water. You're familiar with them. They live, they feed, they mate, they give birth in the ocean, and they are fully adapted for their entire life to live in the water. But they cannot stay underwater forever. They can stay underwater for a long time, but they can't stay under forever. At some point, they have to ascend to the surface, and they have to get a breath of air. And then after getting a breath of air and often spending a time at the surface to renew the lungs and breathe and breathe and breathe, they will descend back down and return to living in the deep. You understand that. You understand their need because they have lungs and they don't have gills. As believers, we have such a similar need. Are you listening? We have a need because we are spiritual beings fully adapted to living on earth, right? We live here. We love here. But as believers and spiritual beings, we must ascend to the throne of God for a breath of prayer in order then to descend back into living our life down here successfully. We must ascend to the throne of God. We must get that breath of prayer in order to live. Prayer is the spiritual air that we breathe. Without it, there is no successful spiritual life on this earth. Now listen to this. When a believer fails to pray, you are holding your breath spiritually. Literally holding your breath spiritually. And the results of spiritually holding your breath are all bad. There are no good points to it. As you put on the armor of God and you fight the daily battle, which we do every day, it's breathing prayer that sustains you. Breathing prayer gives you strength. Breathing prayer gives you life. Prayer is more than just a spiritual weapon. It is the very atmosphere that you breathe in order to use and implement your spiritual weapons. Are you with me? Does that make sense? I can start back at the top. Boy, people are understanding all over. We understand this, that the very atmosphere in which our living and our fighting occurs is prayer. It is the air that we breathe spiritually. Prayer is our spiritual breath, and it's listed here at the end of Ephesians and at the end of the armor as the climax of the book for a reason. Prayer makes the difference. Let me share with you, in Luke chapter 18, Jesus taught us that prayer makes a difference. He said prayer makes a difference. And he tells us a little story there. And he tells us about an account there about prayer. But I want you to look at verse 1. He said there, "Then he spoke a parable then that men always ought to pray and not lose heart." He said men ought always to what? Now wait a minute. Isn't that the exact words we got here in Ephesians? Verse 18. Praying always. And it says that they are to pray and not what? Lose heart. That's that word that we've used just recently. Fainting. Pray and don't faint. Pray and don't give up. pray and don't lose heart. That's what he's talking about here. Our Lord urges us to pray always and not faint. Don't lose heart. He told us that because he knows us. God made us. God knows about our spiritual fall. He knows about our sin. He knows about our difficulty staying on track sometimes. And he tells us here that when our life gets really tough, when we get really weary, when we don't have our eyes on him, it's easy for us to faint. It's easy for us to lose heart. It's easy for us to give up. Does that make sense? And that's what he's saying here. God knows if we don't pray constantly, we're going to grow weary. And when we grow weary, we will lose heart. And when we lose heart, we're going to abandon the fight. He's saying, keep breathing, folks. Breathe. When somebody's having a panic attack, do you know what you tell them, the first thing to tell them to do? Breathe. Breathe. You don't say, relax. Breathe. In. Out. Breathe. It makes all the difference in our physical being. Prayer is your breath. And that's why our Lord Jesus told us, pray always and don't faint. Don't lose heart. If you pray, you won't faint. There are only two alternatives when it comes to spiritual battle. Faint or pray. Which is it going to be? You will lose heart if you do not pray. There is no middle ground. Prayer is the vital need in our daily sustenance for fighting a spiritual battle. For 14 weeks, this is the 14th week that I have preached on spiritual battle and the armor. But what good is all of that protection, dear friends, if you die from a lack of breath? You're a corpse with armor. Woo-hoo! A corpse with armor. There's your losing heart result. Pray. There is more to prayer, though, than even this context of the armor. It's not just the climax of the armor. It's the climax of the entire chapter 6. But it's not just the climax of chapter 6. It's the climax of the entire letter. There's a key verse as we go back. And maybe what we need to do after we studied Ephesians 6 is go back and study Ephesians 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. But here we understand this in verse chapter 1, verse 3. There's a key verse. Listen to what it says. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ. We are blessed with what? All spiritual blessings. How many spiritual blessings? And how many, what kind of blessings? We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Ephesians, more than any other book, I think, as I'm reading in the Word of God, presents the resources that are ours in Jesus Christ. There's probably, that I can think of, no other book that tells us more. In other words, Ephesians is the Sears catalog of resources. You youngins don't know what you've missed. Anybody here old enough to remember when the new Sears catalog came? Do you remember when it came? When? It came in November. Right around Thanksgiving. Do you know why? Because all the kiddies could look at it until December and say, Mama, 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 I want this. I want. Listen, it was there for all to peruse through, and what a catalog of resources. Listen, Ephesians is like that Sears catalog, but so much more. It lists our spiritual resources that you can call on that are yours because you belong to Jesus. Don't forget, God has so many resources for you. Ephesians is that. Listen, I've got a short list. Blessings, love, redemption, wisdom, riches, security, family, life, grace, unity, power. In all, as you go through Ephesians, there are 30 resources. And with all those resources, you might be thinking, wow, I'm a powerhouse. I don't need to pray. Oh, my. Have you missed it all together? With all of these things and all of these resources, what does Paul sum it up with in chapter 6? Praying when? Always. Prayer is the key, dear friends, for appropriating God's resources. It's just like us. When we had the Sears catalog, I made sure the one who had the credit card and the money knew what I wanted to order what I could get. Are you with me? Listen, prayer is the energy behind all of the resources. Without prayer, the resources are powerless. Without prayer, our spiritual resources are like having a warehouse of power tools, but never plugging them in. Prayer is the power behind the resources of God. Let me ask you, do you ever look at your life, and I'm not talking about you looking at my life, I'm talking about you. Have you ever looked into your life and you thought this, listen, something like it? I believe in God. I have faith in God. But I don't ever really see God at work around me. Now, if that's you, I want you to confess it to yourself. You don't have to say it out loud. But is this you? Oh, I believe in God. I believe. But I just don't see Him at work in my life. Or how about this one? Maybe this is a little closer to home. I know what God's Word says, and I believe it. But I just don't see much happening in my spiritual world. Is that you? Let me tell you something. The resources of God are not magical. You don't just say abracadabra or read the verse out loud and it happens to you. They're not mechanical. They don't just fall into place for nothing. They don't just happen. They don't just fall out of the sky. Anybody say amen? You've been where I've been. You've done what I've done. The armor does not just envelop you while you sleep. Amen? You get up in the morning and you have to put it all back on again. Why? Every spiritual resource given to us is dependent on prayer. They have to be plugged in with prayer. We become so independent of God. And we say we need Him, right? Oh, God, we need You. Oh, we need... We sing the song. But we don't act like we need Him. We don't pray like we need Him. We don't seek Him like we need Him. We are so much like dirt. Thanks, Pastor. You are so much like dirt. I am so much like dirt. I'm like the dust. Spiritual seeds and resources can be planted in us, and a great harvest can be anticipated. Can I get an amen? But nothing happens until the rain falls from heaven and empowers the earth to produce from the seeds. And folks, it's that way with us. Nothing happens in us spiritually. The seeds of faith remain dry in the dust until the rain falls from heaven and empowers us to produce. Yes, dear friends, the resources of God can produce life. The resources of God can produce growth and fruit. He's helping me. Don't worry about it. But it will not happen. It will not happen without the watering of prayer. Are you with me? like the dust mentioned in Genesis chapter 2. It says that God reached down and formed the dust of the earth into the form of a human being. And until that very point, it was nothing but dust. Until when? God breathed into the dust the breath of life, and it became a human being. You know, for us to do anything, for us to have any power, it will require the breath of God. A pile of dirt we are until God breathed into us. Prayer is what brings spiritual life, spiritual reign into our hearts. When I was a boy, he's going to get a stool for me. I thought you were already up here, brother. When I was a boy, my dad would sing a song about prayer. And I'd like to share it with you this morning because it helps me to remember. And so I'm going to ask you if you would pray for your pastor. I'm going to sing a song called "How Long Has It Been?" And I hope that it will help you to remember as it has helped me to remember.
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? Your mind felt at ease. How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you? Since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven, how long since you knew that He would answer you and would keep you the long night through? Since you woke with the dawn and you felt that this day was worth living, can you call Him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that He cared for you? Can you call friend, how long has it been since you knew that He cared for you?
So many Christians are waiting on God. They're waiting on Him to produce something in their life. They know the promises of God, and they're waiting on God. But they're not looking to God and they're not praying. They're holding their spiritual breath. Are you with me? We have to ascend. They're holding their spiritual breath. And God, because of that, is holding back the rain. And we feel dry. We are dust. We feel like dirt. God, dear friends, is waiting for His children to seek Him and to seek His will in prayer. He is waiting for them to seek His will. He's waiting for them to ask, God, what do I do? God, fill my life. You know, we know that we should be a witness, don't we? We know that we should be winning people to Jesus Christ. Do you know why you don't? Do you know what the very first step of evangelism is? The very first step of sharing Christ with someone successfully. Do you know what it is? Prayer. It's not getting a tract. It's not going through an evangelism course. It's not going and knocking on somebody's door with the boldness to be able to say, I'm going to tell you about Jesus. The very first step to being a successful sharer of the gospel is to pray. Pray. God, use my heart. God, use my voice. God, touch the lives of those. Bring someone to me. Lord, take me to someone. Listen, I have asked you, and we have asked you even today, the last couple of weeks, to prepare to be a witness on October the 31st, Halloween night, to set up a table in your driveway, to give away a little bit of candy. Listen, if Satan can use candy to draw attention to his ministry, let's use a little candy to draw assistance and to draw attention to God's ministry, okay? I don't have a problem with that. If it gets a kid to slow down and to be told Jesus loves you from a sign and to tell his parents, you know, if you have a prayer need, we would be glad to pray for you and for your family. Talk to your neighbors. I've asked you to be a witness, but do you know what you should do before that? Any hints? You should pray. You should pray. Why? Because prayer aligns your heart with God. Prayer aligns your heart with God's heart. So pray and ask Him what His will is. And I'm going to tell you, this prayer is a good one and this one is not. Listen, a good prayer is not, God, what is your will for my life? It's not a good prayer. You want to know what the real prayer is, the good prayer? God, what is your will? Period. Because His will is told to you right here. Don't try to go say, well, I'm special and I'm different from everybody else. God, give me different instruction. He's already given you His instruction. And He said, pray. And He said to pray for those that are out there. He said, the fields are widened to harvest. Pray. So ask God to show you His will. It's in His Word. And then ask, Holy Spirit, will you work on my heart to make it like your heart? And God, would you work on the hearts of my neighbors? And would you prepare them? Lord, minister to them through me and let me share a word of encouragement from you to them. Why? Because prayer opens spiritual opportunities. Prayer opens opportunities. God's favorite thing to do is to redeem and change lives. Amen? He said so. He would that not one be lost. God's favorite thing is to redeem and change lives. If you ask Him, God will begin working on your life and He'll begin working on your neighbors' lives. And then what do we do after that? What do we do after that? What do we do after we pray? If you believe that God answers prayer, you know what you better be doing? Watching to see what God is doing. Because when you pray and say, God, show me what you're doing, He will. And what we need to do then is watch to see what God is doing around us. And then when God reveals himself, in other words, he shows us what he's doing in somebody's life, we should adjust our life and join him in what he's doing. Some of you are going, well, what kind of adjustments? What are you talking about, adjustments? Let's just say that you're at work, or you're at school, or you're at home, wherever it happens to be, and you have lunch plans, and somebody next to you, whether it's at work or at school or in your neighborhood, begins to ask you spiritual questions like, you know, I've been reading the Bible, but I just can't understand it. Or maybe they would say, you know, I feel like God's talking to me, but I don't know. Or how about this one? Things just have not been going very well in my life. You ever hear that one from somebody? I just don't know what to do about it. Lights and bells and whistles ought to be going off. Ooh! Because God is at work. They just revealed to you that they're seeking. So what should you do? Say, well, be fine and well and enjoy your life. I'm going to my lunch. That's where we have to be obedient to the call of God. And we have to say, Lord, I see you at work. God, I'm going to join you there. And whatever your plans were, perhaps the best thing that you should do is cancel them all and just spend lunch with this person who is spiritually seeking the Lord. Does that make sense? Whether it's a child or an adult or a neighbor. And it could happen in many, many different ways. Maybe somebody comes to you and says, you know, I've thought about doing a Bible study. Wonderful. Would you like to be a part of one of ours? Or would you like to read the Bible? Maybe they won't come and sit with a bunch of people they don't know. But I guarantee if you say, you know what? Get your Bible and come over right now or this evening or grab your family and come over. We'll start in the Word of God. And then, listen, whatever you do, don't go to Revelation first. We'll scare them half to death. That comes later. Take them to the Gospel of John. There, you can take them to just about any place, but the Gospel of John is a great place to start. But you adjust your life to what's going on. Here's the question. Right then, right there, you have to make yourself available. Will you make yourself available for God to use you for this person? Or will you go about your own plans? If you refuse to be obedient in that moment and adjust to what God is doing, you will miss what God has in store for your life. That's why you pray and say, God, make me sensitive. God, help me to listen. God, show me what you're doing. You don't have to be Billy Graham to do this, folks. All you have to be is obedient to share what God has done for you. Can I tell you a really big secret? You cannot stay where you are and go with God. Shall I say it again? You cannot stay where you are and go with God. Father, throughout this congregation are folks who love you. They know your word. They believe you. They have faith in you. But God, so many are holding their breath. Lord, today would you help them to breathe. God, I pray for them. Lord, help them to breathe. God, help their hearts to be opened to you and for you. And for those who truly know you, Lord, help them to be available, to be used for your kingdom work. And Father, for those who don't yet, Lord, may today be that day that they come to know the Lord Jesus as their friend and Savior. Friends, God is speaking to your heart. Will you breathe with him? Right now in this quiet moment, would you ascend to the throne and take a breath? Right now, in your own seat, right where you are, will you ascend to the throne of God and take a breath with him and just say, Lord, it's me. Maybe it's been just a few minutes. Maybe it's been months. Maybe it's been years. But this morning, would you pray to him and just say, Father, I am here. Speak to my heart. Oh, it's okay for you to ask him to forgive your absence and to forgive your sin. He's ready. Remember, his favorite thing to do is to redeem and change. As you pray, would you seek the heart of the Father? And ask him, Lord, what would you have me do? And if you need some help, we have folks that would be here to help you if you'd like. You can come to this altar to kneel to pray. You can come to one of our prayer partners and just say, you know, what are my next steps? But above all, breathe. Talk with the Father. He's your most important friend.